Welcome to the Grace Vineyard Podcast, where we are building growing communities of worshipers who are becoming like Christ, empowered to do His work. We hope you enjoy this message.
One of the things that we've been talking about with this month of Jesus Says Go is we connect with missionaries around the world and support them. People go and people send. I'm a sender and a goer, so I go occasionally, but I'm always sending. I tell you a lot, but I want you to just get it in your mind. I'm 17 years old. I started doing this and haven't stopped for, 42 years now. Because I'm 59, did I do that right? How do you do the math there? I'm not good in math. Anyway, for a while. And the way we do that as a church is you all fill out that little card that says, here's what I think I'm going to do for the next year. We don't have like two muscular men that show up at your house if you don't give to, you know, extract it from you. Well, we break your knees. It's not like that. It's just you've prayed and you think, I can do this for the next year. We take that information in the next weeks, our missions team, and then we tell our missionaries this is what they can expect from us so they can plan their year. That's why we drive this home. Many of you are consistently giving, but you don't give us that paper at the beginning of the next year, and we don't assume that you're going to keep giving what you gave last year. We don't like to make assumptions. You know about the word assume. Right, so we're asking you. I think only 10 people have filled out that form. And more than 10 of you are giving. So fill out that form. Tell us what you'll prayerfully be giving for the next year. Some amount that you decided before the Lord. If it's $5 or $500, more 500s would be good. We are trying, we're trying to simply raise $2,000 a month for all of our missionaries. And I think right now on the paperwork, we're at about 1,000. But I bet there's more than that. You haven't told us. So tell us. Amen. Okay. So, by the way, I'm Ron. Hi. Welcome. Hi. Good to see you, Mark Anthony. Looking good. We're doing today slightly different than we normally do, because what Sharon just did was sort of half the sermon. So some of you thought, why is she talking so long? It's more than 5 minutes. Because I wanted her to. Because I'm a pastor of a church that's also an army on mission for the Lord. So that information that she just flooded you with was equipping, training, opportunities for us to do the things that we preached about in the last month. You know, the Bible says that someone who listens to the word but doesn't do anything about it is just a fool. It's just not wise. It doesn't do us any good to get information without transformation. So that's what that was about. And here's the scoop. You heard a ton of information, and if I tested you right now, you would not be able to tell me what you just heard. Right? Because it was too much. But all of that's available, and it's not like a mystery how to find us. So if there was something that piqued your interest, like, oh, what, that Mexico thing, that Casa de Luz, I want to know more about that. I'm so easy to find. Sharon's so easy to find. Text that number. Call our church office. Call my cell phone. Many of you have my cell. I mean, call us, and we will connect you with the information that you want. It will be easy. Okay, so anything, if there was something that remotely interested you in that list of opportunities, get a hold of us and say, I don't even remember what it was called, but here's what I think I heard. We'll walk through it with you and we'll help you. Sound good? Uh-oh, that was not a... Okay. Because here's the deal. My goal is to not develop a really great audience that can listen to me and applaud when I talk. That's not interesting to me at all. My goal is to equip and empower you to do the ministry of Jesus, every single one of you, okay? That's why we do what we just did. So I have, hopefully, sort of a mini sermon to wrap this up. I want to talk to you about a culture of servanthood, a culture of servanthood, or a culture of service. Now, many of my friends in this room and outside of this room are in recovery. That means they are going through a process of discovering the roots of addiction and getting healed from it. You hear people in recovery, they go off to a recovery center, they're working on getting sober. It's not, if you didn't know this, if you're not an addict, it's not about just stopping using at all. It's about finding out what was broken on the inside that caused me to seek something in a drug or alcohol or sex addiction or gambling or whatever the addiction was. What was wrong that I tried to fill that hole with that thing? And they work through a lot of wonderful material that's really, if they don't know it, comes right out of the Bible. So one of the things I hear the recovery community say is, I have to serve to survive. Did I say that right? I have to serve to survive. So if you hang around people from the recovery community, you'll discover there's a culture of service. When something's in the culture, you do it without thinking about it. You just naturally do it because it's what everyone does and you think it's normal, and you're very surprised when someone doesn't do it because it's normal, right? So like in this church, there's, I would say, thinking about culture, there's a culture of worship engagement. Amy strums a guitar, and people are jumping up, hands raised, singing loudly. Woo, they're like in it to win it, right? Keep it going. We stop, and you keep going, often. And it's just part of the culture now here. I can tell you that you might visit a church where worship engagement isn't part of the culture, and when the music starts and you stand up and you're singing and at the end of the song you're shouting because the lyrics really connect with your heart, and then you realize that everyone else is just sitting there like this, you realize you're in another culture. You see that? I was having, it's okay, I'm just talking with you. I didn't open the Bible yet. You're good. I have some verses in mind. I'll get there. I'm talking about stuff that's in the Bible. I'm just kind of conversationally talking. I was having breakfast with a couple of pastors recently, and one of the pastors said to the other pastor, you know, if you go to Ron's church, you're going to have building envy because they have the coolest building. But actually, both of those pastors pastor churches like many churches in America where they rent a local school to have a meeting like this. Now, listen, if you don't know this rhythm, if you've never been there, let me remind you, this is how it works. You're a church that rents a school. Around 3 hours before church starts, a bunch of people show up with trucks and trailers at the storage facility to get the stuff. So that'd be like 6:30 for us. Bunch of people show up, they load up their trucks with the Sunday school equipment and the hospitality equipment and all of the PA equipment, which is a ton of stuff, speakers and cords and cables and the stand, everything. They have chairs and tables, and they load everything up to their trailers, and they get to the school that they're renting, and they realize that the people that they're renting it from forgot to clean it, so now they all go start cleaning. And then they set up the chairs and the tables, and then a whole bunch of people set up and plug in all these cables and all the speakers. And, of course, something doesn't work because you've taken it apart and put it back together, and you're struggling. Oh, my goodness, we've got to get together so the worship band can lead us in worship at just the right time. So finally you get there. Hopefully you start at your 9:30 service, and people are leading worship. People are greeting. People are pouring coffee. People are teaching Sunday school, which they had to set up, by the way. And they have a nursery, and they had to pull that out of the trucks. And on it goes, and finally, you're done having your worship time, and then everyone, no, they don't go home. Now they take everything apart and put it back in the trucks and load it up, and they go to the storage place, and then they're all done. That's why they say building envy. But what happens, and that's how our church started, what happens is in that process, you discover that everyone who considers themselves a member of that church is serving somewhere. Everyone. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen. So out of necessity, everyone realizes, I got to show up, I got to suit up, I got to serve. And they discover tremendous joy in working together. Tremendous joy. There's a camaraderie. Often, when a church gets a building, a strange thing happens. People begin to become members of churches, and they have it in their mind that it's possible to be a Christian and a member of a church community and just show up and not serve. They think that's okay, which isn't, by the way, but they think that's okay. And eventually you have people that show up and are happy to be an audience and neither give nor serve nor do anything and just try to receive. And then those people, believe it or not, who've done nothing, begin to complain that the church is not meeting their needs. And they leave and find a better church. I've been around a few, just telling the truth, I'm your friend. I've been around the church my whole life. I've seen this happen. Because in that situation, the culture of service has been lost. And it feels good for a moment, because in American culture, we think the goal is to work as little as you can and get as much as you can without working, right? But that's not kingdom culture. And what you discover when you read the words of Jesus, Acts 20, Paul speaking to the Ephesus church, that is on the scriptures there. Do you see the Acts 21? I'm sorry, I'm just going off my head, and I'm probably not in the order I gave it to you. In Acts 20, Paul says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, he's talking to elders who he demonstrated hard work for, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Okay, let me back up. The truth of how reality works, the truth by the designer of your reality, the one who created this universe, the truth that he will tell you is that if you will spend your life serving other people and giving, you'll get way more out of it than you put in. The path to fulfillment is not looking for a way to get without giving. That's the design of your God. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's design. So those people who work hard, but work as unto the Lord, because they realize, I got up early, I showed up, I started serving, I started pouring that coffee. Thank you, Marty, for making coffee this morning. Got here before anyone else. Now, we have a lack of time. I always want to talk more than I have time. I was going to interview Marty this morning, but it's too late to do that. Sorry, Marty. Maybe another time. Here's what I was going to do. I was thinking yesterday, who are some people who serve all the time and seem super happy about it? Like, they're not like, oh, I got to serve again. But like, I can't wait to show up and serve the people I love. And I thought, Marty. So I called her and I interviewed her, asked her, why are you so happy? Because she loves to serve. And she gets more out of pouring that cup of coffee than you get out of drinking that cup of coffee. Because she loves to serve. That's how it works. You feel the joy in the room just thinking about that? Thank you, Marty. Okay, so you often hear me talk about my goals for you. I want a church where everyone's involved in missions, right? I want a church where everyone knows how to pray for the sick. I want to know a church where every single person that calls it their church, they know how to hear from the Lord and prophesy and pray. You know, I want to equip an army of healers. Like, we can do it day and night. So the person who serves because they get joy knowing they're showing love to Jesus when they get up early and expect nothing in return is so fulfilled. So fulfilled. The person who thinks, I don't like to serve. What do they want of me now? They're always asking something. I know what Ron's going to do. He's going to try to capture me in the corner and get me to be a greeter. That person, and they hide from me, and they come late and leave early. I'm sorry if that's you. I'm not trying to mess with anybody. I'm not thinking of anyone in my mind. I'm just thinking, I know this person already. Better be careful. That person does not have a lot of joy. But the person who says, I love Jesus, and I'm going to use everything I have to worship him and serve him, and it brings me joy to think that by doing this act of service, I'm making him happy. I don't mind at all. In fact, I like it. In fact, I'm fulfilled. Culture, that's a culture of service. So when there's a culture of service in a community like this, there's no thought of like, I wonder if this person serves. The only thought is, where do they serve? And I hope they're not serving too much because we don't want to wear them out. I've been in that culture. We're like, you got to say, I'm sorry, Michelle, you're doing four things. You can't take this fifth thing on. I'm just going to say no, no more service for you. Just stop. She won't, yeah. Because she's a server. There's a different culture there. And there's no lack of joy and fulfillment. So, are you thinking right now? I wonder, I haven't dived in. Oh, now here comes Debbie. They need more Sunday school workers. Put me back in the cave. Back in the back room. Or, oh my goodness, I get to invest in the life of a child and teach them about Jesus. And I know that I know that I know that I'm serving Jesus by changing this diaper. Oh, had to go there. Okay, you know how I tell you that I started doing missions supporting at 17? My wife started teaching Sunday school at 12. Now, she's 39. So, guess why you usually don't see her in here? Because she's in the Sunday school. And on Saturdays, when she's getting ready to teach Sunday school, she is practicing the craft that she's going to do. And she comes and shows me, look what I did. This is what we're going to do tomorrow. I think this is going to work. And she's excited. And she's prepared for 20 kids, and maybe there's one today. But she's going to give it her all, and maybe there's more. Because she loves to serve. And I don't think she ever complains. Occasionally she thinks, man, I haven't been in church in 6 weeks. Wish I could help motivate some more people to serve. But I'm going to keep going anyway. We need to flip that as a community. We need to flip it back to where we are a people who are about worshiping Jesus with our whole lives. We are saying, Jesus says go. He also says, Jesus says serve. Because I just read that to you. 11 o'clock. Should read a couple more verses. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one, Peter, remember Peter? The guy that walked on the water? The fisherman? Caught all those fish and sunk his boat? Remember the one who said, oh, I see who you are, Jesus. Get away from me. I am an unworthy bad man. You don't want to hang around me. And Jesus said, oh, come here. Gave him a little noogie on his head. You silly. I'm going to make you into a rock. You're going to be an apostle for me. That Peter started out like such a loser. Big old L on his forehead. God turned him into an apostle. Jesus, ready to die for him at the end. He said, just one sentence out of his first letter, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. See, if I have a gift, it's not for me to spend on myself. I won't enjoy it as much. It's for me to spend on you. And we'll all enjoy it together. Aren't you glad that Amy doesn't just sing in the shower for herself? Like, oh, no, I don't want to sing in front of people. Oh, no. No, she takes her gift and serves us, helping us serve Jesus. We worship together and have, like, the most amazing times. She spends a lot of energy using her gift to serve you. A lot of time. A lot of time. A lot of energy. A lot of tears. A lot of prayer. Because she, I don't know if she read this and thought, I better obey that, but she's doing it. Each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others. Romans, Paul says a longer passage here. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. Get ready for a heavy statement. And each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. Did you know that? This is how God designed his church. Each member is for all the others. You know, I have a liver. I've never seen it, but I understand he's really important. And he belongs to all the other members of my body. If my liver decides to take a long vacation, my eyes will stop working. If my kidneys say, I'm tired of this working so hard, my kidneys belong to all the other members of my body. So it is with you. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, he should use that in proportion to his faith. So if God gives you a spiritual gift to declare the voice of God, according to your faith, give it for the body. If it's serving, let him serve. Well, all of us have that gift. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern, lead diligently, showing mercy. Let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Do you hear the heart of Paul about using our gifts to serve each other and to think, I don't belong to myself. I'm part of a community. God put me in the body of Christ and in a local connection of people. I'm there to serve those people and bless them with whatever God's given me, even if I think it's not cool being a liver. If you don't like what you are, oh, just think God loves what you are. He made you the way you are. He's so pleased with the way you are. He looks at you and goes, ah, very good. I did a good job. You're his trophy. He puts you in a trophy case and shows you off to the angels. He says, do you see what I did? Look at that. He does. Look at Sarah. Imagine this. I took her and formed her and gave her these gifts. Now, you're all feeling motivated, I can see that. But I can tell you this, a culture doesn't change with a good motivational talk. It does not change. It doesn't change with a good strategy. Someone said, culture eats strategy for breakfast every morning. Culture rules in a group of people. What becomes the norm, what people talk about, what they celebrate, how they normally live, will overcome any strategy the leaders have. So I am prayerfully thinking about the way to transform our culture back to being a culture of servanthood, as well as a culture of engagement and worship, as well as a culture of evangelism. I mean, these things are becoming part of who we are as a people. We don't have to talk about it, we just are it. Right? We're getting to be a good potlucking community. A culture of eating good food. So listen, can you help me with this? Wait, are you in it to win it with me? Like you want to just, okay. If you're someone who's currently serving some part of the ministry here, would you start talking about it? If you love that you once a month stand and you greet people as they come in the door and you're saying hi and telling them where to go, tell some friends about how much you enjoy greeting. Start talking about it. Tell them, hey, maybe you'd like to do it too. If you teach Sunday school, Talk about it. Talk about how great it is. Talk to your friends. Say, why don't you come and join me? It's so fun. If you come early and help set stuff up with Steve and just kind of get everything organized, talk about it. Just start talking about it with each other. Maybe start asking each other, hey, where do you serve? What's your role? How can I pray for you so you can serve better? Make it part of our culture. We love Jesus. Jesus says, go, and we're on mission. We're going to Africa. We're going to Cambodia. We're going to Oceanside on Monday nights with Convicted for Christ. Oh, my goodness. Last Saturday, the first Saturday of the last Saturday event, the Humanity Showers, that was off the hook. It was so fun, and it was just the inaugural event. What's he talking about? The last Saturday of every month, Convicted for Christ partners with Humanity Showers to put on this killer event for the community. One, I told you my email, which you didn't read apparently because you didn't get it. I'll try to get that to you. One guy came up to me because I was in the hamburger booth, so I was serving the hamburgers, and he said, am I in heaven? This is amazing. What is going on? I just got a hot shower because he was homeless. I feel so good. And not, there's live music. Who's that band? It was Amy and Jay. Awesome. Who's, you know, can I have a hamburger and a hot dog with chili and onions? Of course. You can have more all you want until we run out. Clothes. People at picnic tables just loving on each other and praying for each other. And last Saturday of every month, Jesus says, go. So join us at that. Join me in Zambia. I'm planning on going hopefully in July. You know, Steve and Lisa will probably go down to Costa de Luz and Primo Tapia. Good times. But also, Jesus said, serve. Every one of you, if you call this your church, this is your community, this is your home, I anticipate that you are finding a place to serve. Is that fair? You good with that? I won't be mean about it. I'm always smiling. I'm always doing this. Lord, we love you. We love the experience of your presence that we have when we were just worshiping. In fact, Amy, why don't you come up with your band and we'll do some more of that. We love your presence, Lord. We have determined to serve you with our entire lives, from the morning till the night. Taking our energy, taking our time, taking our talents, taking the treasure you've entrusted, our money, taking everything we have and presenting it to you and saying, oh, you are worthy of it all. You're worth every breath we have, every song we can sing. Everything we can do, you're worth it, and it's such a joy to give it to you. Lord, we love you. We pray for this little community you've called Grace Vineyard, that we would be everything you dreamed of when you created us, that we'd walk in the fullness of your purposes for us, to reach the world around us, to love the hurting, to lift up the oppressed, to proclaim the kingdom of God, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the orphan and the widow, to proclaim the good news that Jesus is King, the Lord reigns, and we can enter your kingdom now. Lord, we love you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. This weekly podcast is available on our website, gracevcf.org, where you can learn more about Grace Vineyard and our vision for people everywhere to know and worship God.